Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Through the Chair to the Director of Corporate and Community.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mayor. So we do report in the annual report. It is part of our audited financial statements. There is also a capacity for us to report on a quarterly basis on our website.
Thank you.
So is there no mechanism to report or for the ability for people to inspect claims that other than in a bulk nature, so like to, for people to inspect individual claims, for example?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, like with any request for information, we'll consider that request on its merit. If it's for an individual transaction or a date or occurrence where there's some concern raised, but I think that the question is a little broad to answer in that instance. We have records that we keep for whenever council submits a claim for reimbursement, and those records are available for inspection, but I suppose it all depends on the circumstance on which that information is being requested.
I can say for any member of the public who's interested, when a claim is made, every councillor needs to detail the reason for the claim, the meeting, who they're conducting it with, so that the general manager can make that assessment with the caveat of reasonableness. Councillor Barwick.
What I was going to say to, and I won't call point of order, but the council has a motion on the books that every 3 months on the council's website, you can go on there and you'll find allowances that are paid to councillors. Each, they're named, their travelling's named, separate to how much travelling they've got, and that goes up religiously. It stopped for a little while, but I believe now with the new system, whatever's happening, it may come back online. But that is available for transparency. It used to be in bulk before, but because travelling is not paid in arrears, travelling is an expense that you incur to do your business, and it's paid as a different rate to your council allowance, which is in arrears. And the motion, our motion was that the if Heather Barwick or Councillor Barwick did 5,000 kilometres, she would have 5,000 kilometres for the period of whatever of that 3 months, and the amount of money that I claim for that. And that is what is in available, and I hope still goes back on the internet.
Through the Chair to the Director of Corporate.
Sorry, I was just going to add, if I could quickly, to that, Mr. Mayor, because I'm not sure that that answers the question that Councillor Archer was asking, because that's still referring to, in my mind, a bulk transaction, because you're uploading data on a three-monthly basis at the highest level, talking about kilometres and reimbursement made. My interpretation of the question that Councillor Archer was asking was around more around individual, you know, the ability to access information around individual trips and allowance claims. So I think that's a separate, if my interpretation is correct, Councillor Archer, that you have the ability, yeah, thank you. So we don't have a documented mechanism in place at the moment. There's one we could introduce. As I said, you know, it's pretty broad in terms of its consideration at the moment. It's about, you know, we'd have to address who is requesting such information and for what purposes. So it's one, I suppose, we'd have to take on notice around not just that trend, not just that access, but other access as well. You know, should it be a member of the public, for instance, that's asking to request it, or any other body or agency for whatever purpose. So,
thank you. Do you want to add anything to it? Through the Chair to the Director of Corporate and Community.
Just to clarify for Councillor Barwick that the information for the March or the year-to-date to the end of March is being collated at the moment, and we'll look to upload that in the next week or so.
Okay. All right. Any furthers? Otherwise, I'll move it back to our mover to close. Councillor Orr to close.
Yeah, so summing up, I would do have to say that, you know, in our agenda we do have matters involving the Mayor, Deputy Mayor and councillors, and so that's an opportunity for councillors to actually declare what meetings they've been going to, and that's another way of transparency in saying, well, they've been going to LEGAC conference or community events, are these sort of, so you can see that the councils are actually out about doing travelling. Regarding the workplace is not just somewhere where you get paid to go to for work doing. Workplace is a piece of your, you can also be doing volunteering at a workplace. So I close that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. With that, I will say, just remember, we're voting on endorsing the proposed changes to the Councillor Allowances Policy as presented. I'll be putting that to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Councillor Barwick, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer. We're unanimous. Unanimous. Thank you, Cheryl. Section 11, Organisational Performance Strategy and Engagement. Welcome Rick, Director Rick Dunn to the hot seat. No smile, no. Jeez, straight face. Okay, so Section 11.1 is fees and charges. So from time to time, we look at the various different dog registration and management fees. This is a review conducted by the Director of Performance Strategy and Engagement, with one or two changes, but otherwise proposing a net 5% increase on charges. The table with the proposed changes commences at page 88. And the recommendation is to adopt the below environmental health fees and charges 24-25 and adopt the below dog registration and management fees and charges for the 24-25 financial year. Can I call for a mover, please? Our mover is Councillor Archer.
With an amendment, thank you.
Councillor Archer, noting an amendment.
Pretty minor, but in the miscellaneous fees that... it's in the miscellaneous fees, sorry. No, it's in the dog registration, re-registration fees, that lifetime registration from working dog be $148 in the first column. $147 in the first column and $154 in the fourth column. Proposed fee.
So just to make sure that I can track it.
Well, anyway, the proposed.
So yes. Your proposal...
I don't know how it's got to the stage where we've got...
So we're at miscellaneous.
And re-registration of dogs.
Sorry.
The re-registration.
Sorry, I've...
And yeah. We've got lifetime registration.
I'm not too sure how we've ended up in this situation where we've got different fees for the de-sexed and the pensioner and working dog. Sorry, I've read that wrong. I was reading the... proposed fee for pensioner.
Okay. Do you still want the amendments?
Sorry, my amendment would be that the lifetime registration for the pensioner concession be 148 and 155 in the last, well, 100 and what are we proposed fee? Yeah, so be $155 for the pensioner concession for a whole dog in the fourth column. So I don't know how we've ended up with fees being different over the years, but they were set the same.
Yeah. So instead of it being, so it should be 155 exactly the same. So 155 and 155.
That was always the intention of it, is my belief, that they were the same as...
So let me just play, I'm going to play back to you.
Sorry,
because then I'm going to
page,
work
page 87. Yeah.
And just indulge me. So now it currently reads... In the second column, lifetime registration for D6 for 155, and your proposal is you change...
No, then on the next page, the 154 for pensioner concession, the 155.
That's going to change from 154 to 155.
That'll make them all even.
And they're consistent. So you see that $1 difference.
I don't know how over time they've become different, because they should have been the same.
I think so. I think it's because you're on the electronic convert.
With your indulgence, Mr. Mayor, we'll just if we could just take a moment while we get the motion drafted for consideration on the screen.
Yeah. I realise that. Yeah.
Okay. So can we just note, work with Louise to just capture that one change, just be patient. It's a little bit more involved than meets the eye.
wasn't real organised, but
it's all right.
Taken off the poor, you reckon?
Easy.
Done. Let's just make sure that it's
captured. I don't know how it's ended up there over time.
Is the table updated? Yeah. I'm not seeing the table updated. Just pull it up on the screen so I can see your work, Ms. Louise, and I can then play it back to Councillor Archer. Okay, so take your time. Says 155, they're up. There we go, 155, 154. 155. No, absolutely, no. But it's a good catch because it's a legacy area that, you know, actually, it just makes it consistent.
It's going small, but,
yeah, but
it's a rounding error. It's rounded. Not misread at all. Wrong, then not at all.
One rounded up and one rounded down. Let's first confirm with the mover. All right, so when you're ready, Louise.
Yep.
Okay, so that's now the updated table. So now it says lifetime registration D-section 155, lifetime registration pressure concession holder 155 as well. Okay, so just for the audio recording, confirming that our mover, Councillor Archer, has confirmed that he is moving the recommendation with the amended table that lifetime registration pensioner concession whole dog, the proposed next year charge now reads 155 instead of 154. So confirmed by Councillor Archer. Can I call for a seconder, please? Okay, seconder is Councillor Mason. Councillor Barlow, did you have a question?
I did, sir.
Through the chair, I'll take that as a question.
Yes, environmental health, zero.
Yeah, so that's correct. No fees being proposed for the next financial year.
So they have to register to do their business, but they don't have to pay a fee.
That's correct, Councillor. Inspections will still occur.
Yeah.
However, the infrequency of them wasn't deemed that a fee was required and a waiver was appropriate. Thanks.
Thank you, Rick. Okay, let's hand it to our mover, Councillor Archer. Take it away. Oh, there's another question. Mm-hmm. Councillor Lowe, beg your pardon. Do you got another question? Yeah. No.
He has.
No, he hasn't spoken to it at all. Councillor Mason. Councillor Archer, as I move it, take it away.
Done. Thank you.
Councillor Mason.
Shine, thank you.
So that is the longest mover and seconder speech we've ever had. Councillor Lowe, over to you.
Sorry about that. I'll change that. So I do apologise that I didn't think of this was coming up today. I was obviously preoccupied with all the planning stuff, and this one slipped my mind. So unfortunately, I have lots of questions, comments, concerns around the fee increases in regards to dog ownership. And I just wanted to start off by asking the fees that we charge under the miscellaneous for notice of complaints. I know that's quite a contentious point in community. They if there's a dog incident or they're concerned for a dog, people aren't calling the council because they have to pay. And some people don't know they have to pay, and then when they find out they have to pay, then no notices are, no complaints are recorded. So I was just wondering if that fee of $30 does cover the cost of what the council officer has to do with regard to that, and similarly with some of these other things. I just don't think putting a dollar up serves a real benefit to this council. It's just, it's a dollar. A dollar used to be able to buy you a loaf of bread, but I understand that it's an increase, which I just can't see that helping the council, and it's just an added cost. So there are in short, are the increases warranted on some of these by a dollar?
Well, how about we, through the chair, point that towards the Director of Organisation, Performance, Strategy and Engagement.
Thank you, Mayor. Point taken, Councillor. But I guess there's a principle around ensuring that we keep up with costs over time. I mean, whilst it's only a dollar, if they're not addressed over time, whether it's $5 or $10, they will compound over time. So the principle is that if we're looking at a 5% increase, we should therefore consider it across the board so that we don't get this situation in 10 or 15 years' time that we're playing catch-up on in terms of actual costs. So it's just a principled view around how you apply a 5% increase.
Yep. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I accept that. It's a very economical answer, and I was just coming from the community space, so thank you for clearing that up.
Thank you, Councillor Lowe. Anyone else?
Can you,
Councillor Orr,
clarify notice of complaint?
Yep.
What that actually is?
Through the chair to the Director of Organisational Strategy and Engagement. So I can point to what that is, basically. So philosophically, when a person wants to complain about a dog behaviour, they have to actually lodge a fee to make a complaint. And philosophically, what that aims to do is, firstly, we want our community to communicate and engage with their neighbours to try to find an amicable middle ground, failing which, if they are unable to perform that task, then we will do so on their behalf for a fee.
So does that include when somebody reports a dangerous dog?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So Section 47 underneath the Dog Management Act deals with issuing of complaints. So a person may make a complaint to the general manager in respect of a dog that is a nuisance, and a complaint is to have to be an approved form accompanied by an appropriate fee and a state the nature of the nuisance. And then once that has been received, our officers will then investigate that complaint, whether or not further action is required or not. So the Act prescribes a fee must be incurred. How we got to 30 versus 31, I don't know. But I can tell you, I'm pretty confident it doesn't cover staff costs in that instance, but that is facilitated underneath the Act. So the Act specifies under 47 exactly what that means.
So further on from that,
yes.
So look at comparisons of what we charge for dangerous dogs to West Ham Council, which is less, but Launceston City Council is $750 and we're $536. So you're saying if someone gets bit by a dog, they cop a $31 fine, put the complaint in, and the person who's got the dog, is that what you're saying?
No.
Say that again. Sorry, through the checking. Please repeat that, Councillor.
So if someone gets bitten by a dog, and they put a complaint in, they've got to pay a $31 fee.
No, so my read of it, and again, please correct me, is that if you are a neighbour and you notice that there is a dangerous dog, say, for example, across the road, you lodge the complaint, that costs you $30. Yeah. Our officers then go and investigate. If they're at the end of that investigation, a dog is declared to be dangerous, then the person opposite the street incurs a $535 fine.
Through the chair, this section of the Act deals with nuisance. So you can imagine that there needs to be some perhaps disincentive on occasion for probably neighbours that may not get along with one another. to issue complaints of nuisance. So dogs barking, for instance, you know, in unacceptable hours of the day, or you know, what have you. So that is where a fee must be lodged for an investigation with regard to nuisance. So dangerous dogs and attacks are investigated separate to having to lodge a fee for that investigation to occur.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Orr. Any further questions? Otherwise, I'll move it back to our mover to close. Councillor Archer to close.
That'll do, thanks.
We'll put that to a man of many words. Put that to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Motion is carried unanimously.
Before you go, Mr. Chairman, we have still got to do fees and charges for, it's a question, fees and charges for halls, don't we?
Yep.
Which we inevitably do for Bellingham, Weymouth and Hillwood.
Yep.
Just to put the cats among the pigeons, is that a word? How about I ask that you look at the uses and the hire of the football ground, Hillwood and Georgetown, because they hire out their halls. And because I know they do, because people have now started to use the yacht club because it's cheaper. But I mean, the Hillwood football ground, I think they might hire theirs out at times. Whether or not we need to look at, A, in part of their agreement, set a fee for the hire through the council, I'm not sure.
I think it's worthwhile.
Management need to talk about.
I think that the point is noted. I think that that's appropriate for us to have in open business in a workshop. But I will say that the general philosophy is that those sporting organisations tend to raise revenue for their clubs through the hire of their halls and facilities for events. So in many ways, it's essential for their ongoing financial viability in order to do so. So it's worth something to have a look at, to debate. But I think we'll just move on our agenda and state that.
It's been asked, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't matter, we're going out there and
asking that. I think we'll definitely have the discussion. I think it's appropriate. Okay, section 12, which...
we're treating that as a question on off notice or not?
I think that that's appropriate. How are we going to treat that? So are we going to treat that as a question without notice?
So is that a direction?
Well, it looks really just a question on the fact that we are...
No, I think you need to formalise. So, is it a, so can we say it's just a statement for the purposes of the minutes? Are you happy for it just to be a statement? So we're not treating it as a question without notice.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. If it's being treated as a statement, it won't be recorded on the minutes unless you specify you would like that, because it's not directing any action formally. So, thank you.
Thank you. Just want to make sure we're all clear there. Section 12, the Mayor. Section 12.1, matters of involvement for the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor and councillors. Can I call for a mover, please? Our mover is Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Harris. Councillor Mason.
I invite all councillors to ask questions of the Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Harris.
Yes, thank you, Mayor.
Met
with a local resident regarding the Lavish Garden. Was that
It was a meeting where a local resident proposed ideas of how council can interact with the garden club and some of the constituents there. It was interesting. Lovely lady. Any other questions? Councillor
Orr. Interesting, the Bell Bay Family Fun Day at Timberlink.
Yes.
What was fun about that?
A lot, let me tell you, a lot. So firstly, I congratulate the team at Timberlink. They are undergoing a significant expansion of that facility. They are almost, if I recall correctly, nearly a doubling of capacity. So make it one of the larger mills in their network across Australia. They're going through a process where they're leaning in to community and to staff to better socialise and familiarise people with what the business does for the local economy as well as for the community. They hosted an excellent day. I mean, it was kind of a genuine carnival, bands, merry-go-rounds, as well as demonstrations of how some of the latest log haulers work, as well as tours of the actual manufacturing plant. They also recruited numerous community organizations to help facilitate catering and the event in the day. So commendations to the Georgetown Rotary Club, as well as the Georgetown Lions Club, and various other food van operators who were in attendance of the day. And from a personal point of view, I had a good opportunity to meet with their managing director and director team, and I just commend them. I think it's a visionary process of leaning in, enriching understanding, and enriching their staff engagement.
Could you tell them to turn their lights off then?
Oh, turn your lights off, thanks.
Oh, right. Sorry, I haven't finished my questions.
Carry on, Councillor.
Thank you. Now, you've attended the Township Character Plans on the Sunday. You didn't attend the ones on the Saturday where
that's
other council staff did that.
Correct.
So the one at two at Beechford and one at Pipers River, how'd they go?
So thank you for the question. Yes, it's quite common practice where the general manager and myself will divide our time to make sure that we cover the various events across our municipality to make sure that there is appropriate representation. In this case, being a Saturday and a Sunday, Shane donated his entire Saturday and I donated my entire Sunday, which was great. It was really worthwhile. So three events being Balboa Beach first thing in the morning, followed by Beechford. I'd say the overall atmosphere with the Beechford attendees was very constructive. They have some good ideas. They engaged wholeheartedly with Alaric and Ben. And overall, again, you know, I just left there feeling like that whole initiative was moving in a very positive direction. Over to Pipers River. Quick lunch with the local team. Jenny and Brian, as always, do a wonderful job in caring for all visitors. Very interesting at Pipers River. I say that there is, as everyone knows, for a long time, that community has been advocating for a joint emergency services and community hall facility. We have been working with them and the RFS, the Rural Fire Services, on trying to bring that up the priority schedule of building out that hall. There was some particularly interesting dialogue about how we could potentially repurpose the room / building on the other side of the road near the tennis courts to be a good stepping stone in achieving the community centre. In other words, do that one first. You could spend a lot less money. And my takeaway for the day was the willingness of the community to turn that field area opposite into a caravan and camping ground, which would be operated by the community. But then that would then mean we need to undertake some planning in terms of potentially putting in some toilet facilities and electrification. Again, full credit to Alaric and Ben and team. I've got a sense that the exercise has worked as we had hoped. The community certainly has had an opportunity to speak and to help us to prioritise their asks in terms of our budget allocations. Councillor Harris.
The wind farm proposal meeting.
Yes. So from time to time, as you know, the general manager and myself will meet with various different proponents. In this case, we actually met with the first of the proponents with concrete thoughts about the sea-based Bass Strait wind farm developments. So this is them sounding us for any thoughts, perspectives, how we would potentially mesh with what they're thinking. I would say it's early days, as you know, the whole expressions of interest and then the actual maritime development of those assets is going to take some time, but it was always encouraging to see large-scale foreign investment-driven interest in Bass Strait. So, yeah, interesting. And have we got any questions for Councillor Orr? No? Councillor Workshop, sir. None for Councillor Dawson. All right. Any there any more? None? I'll hand it back to our mover. Councillor Mason?
Closed.
To close. Put it to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand to say aye. Unanimous. Thank you. Section 13 petitions this month, there are nil. Section 14 notices of motions, there are nil. Section 15, councillors' questions with or without notice. We recently debated this, but I'm just going to simply say, please take it as read. The questions are recorded and responses are captured. Okay. Where's your move? You were going to move a motion, weren't you? Weren't you going to move a motion? No.
No? No, it was already dealt with because I was going to stand there.
Okay, we'll move on. So, which means section 16, we are moving to close the open part. I remind everybody, well, I suppose we've now accepted the policy in this meeting, so next meeting it'll kick off, or we will record from now on because we've accepted it. Okay, so we'll shut that off now. Okay, so the time by my watch is 3:31. And I will call for a mover and a seconder to allow us to move into closed session. Councillor Harris is our mover. Councillor Mason is our seconder. We'll put that to a vote. All of those in favour of us moving into closed session. We are unanimous. And we will now say thank you very much for everyone for attending open. We will turn the audio recording for our open session off. We will rejoin you when we come out of closed.